a late November evening, November the 29th. It's Stormy Mitchell along with Terry Merrill and John Hunley. We are at Stroud Barbecue. Terry, post-Thanksgiving show. Unfortunately, football season is over. Our trip to Memphis, 240 miles one way to Whitehaven High School. The Raptors up 24-10 at halftime. Too much Whitehaven, too many Tigers. They couldn't close the deal. The Tigers will be playing Oakland Patriots for the state championship, thus ending our playoff football run for the year. But what a year it was for us here on AM 950.
It was a great year, Storm. It was. And still a big weekend in Cookeville right now. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what happened today so far. It's the TSSAA Blue Cross Bowl going on. But you're right, Stormy. Locally, we had a great year in football. And as always, it's just every Friday night's fun. You and Marcus did a great job. I enjoyed following it. And right now, you're going to wear a new hat beginning. Well, you already started last Tuesday night.
I warned the listeners. Tuesday night, I bought out the short shorts and the high-top shoes, high-tops and the knee-high socks. I put them on, stood in front of the mirror, and I went, nope, I wouldn't dare do that to the public.
Not leave the house.
That would burn some corneas. I didn't want people to be blinking and losing their eyesight. So I took it off, put on some long, baggy blue jeans, which better suited my less than desirable figure at age 65. And we scootered over to Brentwood. And what a time we had the other night. Joe Blair, the athletic director, had us and set up our usual spots. I spent some time with Coach Kevin, with Principal Kevin Kaidel. And what we watched the Nolensville Knights come over, and the girls and the boys team both lost by both narrow margins. Owensville, they can really play. Wes Lambert and Chris Ladd have got the Knights playing well. And Miles Thrash, Coach Greg Shirley, who's going to be our special guest here in about 25 minutes, and Coach Vince Carter Sr., had the Bruins playing in top form. So we had a good ball game. It was a good kickoff. I kind of told the listeners, I said, remember, it's kind of preseason for us. It's kind of, if I yell first down, y'all just kind of roll your eyes and go, well, he just hadn't made the transition yet.
Stormy, I used to, it was a transition when I did play-by-play, as you may remember, from football to basketball. What for you, I mean, you didn't really waste any time, so what's the biggest transition for you to convert from football to basketball, which you did just Tuesday night, as you mentioned?
Yeah, the transition, it's real rather simple. I mean, first of all, we're right there with the crowd, and we get to hear what the coaches are saying. We can watch them sweat. We can watch the players sweat. We can hear the shoes squeak. It's more of a personal one-on-one scenario than football, because football, we're so far removed, and we're not part of the crowd. The crowd is around and surrounding us. I actually enjoy basketball more because it seems to be more of a personal contact. But it was a smooth transition. Garth jumped right in, thought he did a wonderful job. His analysis was spot on the other night. And both teams, and we both said this repeatedly, both teams played almost to the level of February basketball as opposed to late November. They played smart ball, good ball handling, excellent defense, very few turnovers. I was doing impressed with both teams playing that well that early in the season.
Well, we are going to have Coach Greg Shirley, as you mentioned, and what a big way to start off tomorrow night in district action. He and Brentwood's Bruins come down Franklin Road, right here at Franklin High School, and boy, Stormy, I don't know if you think about it, and we'll talk with Coach Shirley. I want to ask him this. Their first game was November the 13th, and here they are a little over 2 weeks later with arguably the biggest district game on their schedule tomorrow night to start it off with, and I want to know from him, do you need more time to get your team going and out of the, you know, just to be able to build your team and as opposed to jumping right into district play?
I don't know
the answer. I'm going to give
you the answer.
Okay.
I already know the answer. I'll tell you. Greg Shirley called me back in June.
June.
I'm talking about before.
We're talking June.
I didn't say July. I said June. Even before summer got it. We're talking about 6th or 7th of June. He said, by the way, we just finished up tournament at Western Kentucky. We beat 5 of the 6 teams up there. We're playing really well. These kids have been playing together all summer. It's not like they just got out of football uniform like you did back in the day. You changed jerseys and put on different cleats or different tennis shoes or different socks and maybe a different jock. Who knows? But
you wore the same one on that.
That's what I was afraid to have. Poor Johnny. Johnny's trying to eat his dinner. Over. Don't say that again. But see, there was a short transition, and you weren't in basketball shape. It took you a month to get in basketball shape. These kids have been in basketball shape since June. They never even got out of shape. So they played together. They have a cohesive unit. My only concern is because they start so early, where does burnout come in? When does that become applicable?
These and other questions we'll have for Coach Greg Shirley in just a few minutes. This is Bruins Come to Franklin tomorrow night.
Let me make a quick announcement on that. We will be at Franklin, and if you've been listening to WAKM or if you haven't been, normally tomorrow night at 6 o'clock is the lighting, annual lighting of the Christmas tree. That has been postponed and moved to Sunday between Sunday afternoon at 4:30 and 6:30 p.m. due to some possible inclement weather. Matter of fact, it's warmed up today. It started out really cold, and matter of fact, it was almost balmy when we walked in tonight because the temperature is rising because that warm pressure is coming in. Bottom line is we will have full broadcast tomorrow night starting at 6 p.m., and we don't have a pregame tomorrow night because Ron Slay and the Slay Ride, and y'all want to tune in to 5 to 6 and listen to Ron Slay, don't know who the special guest is going to be. Former UT star. Got the Boom Boom Room going. I'm going to tell you, you want to tune in Ron Slay between 5 and 6 p.m. We'll make the transition right at 6 p.m., and we'll start out with a girls' game.
Sure, I thought you were going to say the Christmas parade was postponed because we're broadcasting Franklin and Brentwood tomorrow.
No, the Christmas parade is Saturday afternoon.
No, I meant the lighting. Right. I'm sorry. Okay. That will be Sunday now. Okay.
Sunday at 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Sunday because the weather is supposed to be gorgeous.
Okay. We look forward to that. Gentlemen, let's get caught up in case you've been working today. You've been out and about. And obviously today we talked about the TSSAA Blue Cross Bowl kicked off today in Cookeville. So let's take a look at what happened this morning, or should I say started this morning, into the afternoon. It was Peabody over Trousdale County. That was Class 2A by a score of 17-9. So congratulations to the Peabody White Tide. I believe I got that right, didn't I, Johnny? The White Tide. Golden Tide. I knew it was something Tide. So Peabody, 14-1. They finish it off, and it was a good football game. And Stormy, the game going right now, we've got Class 4A going. Greenville just keeps on rolling along. They lead Haywood at the end of the third quarter, 49-21. It was a little shaky in the first quarter. Midway of the second quarter, they were tied at 21. Haywood ran the opening kickoff back. Stormy, I got to tell you, Greenville is the real deal in 4A. They got Mr. Football Cade, what's his last name?
I don't know.
Anyway, his dad's a coach. And they won it. This will be the second year in a row that they won the championship in 4A. And
all I can say is the Greenville, as they call them, the Devils.
The Green Devils.
All right. I can tell you is those kids play with such consistency. Not near mistake-free football. Consistency. If you ask Coach Crawford what's the one word that if he could get one word to describe his team, make him the happiest, it would be consistency. Same thing Coach Crawford say it, Coach Kreisky, Coach Blade, down the line. But that's what they do at Greenville. These kids play the most consistent year-in, year-out football I've seen. This is going to be, 3 years in a row?
Yeah.
State champion.
Cade Ballard is what I was trying to say.
There you
quarterback,
go.
Son of the coach, Mr. Football, 2 years in a row. And they can play with anybody. There's no doubt. They're big, they're strong, they're well-coached. And Stormy, tonight, Class 6A at 7 o'clock. By the way, you can see this game, these games on MyTV 30. It'll be Oakland, who last week knocked off Maryville 38-0. They'll take on Whitehaven, the game you did down in Memphis. Whitehaven in the second half just totally dominated the Raptors of Ravenwood, 43-24. So tonight, it's Oakland and Whitehaven for the 6A championship. What do you think about that one?
Well, I watched Whitehaven play last week, Gary, and my first impression when they ran on the field, I thought it was Vanderbilt running on the field because they were in black jerseys, black pants, black helmets, and gold numerals. They were large. They were fast. And they were formidable. I mean, this team just kept coming back. I spoke with via text Coach Matt Daniels, Raywood, after game, congratulating him on a great year. Mm-hmm. I knew he was down because they lost, but his exact words were, man, he said, those dudes were big and fast, weren't they? He said, looked like we were playing a college team, and the size and the speed, I got to be honest with you, it was daylight and dark difference, but knowing Coach Daniel, I'll tell you what he'll do, he'll motivate his Raptors to get in the gym, mm-hmm. to put on that extra 20 pounds to make a difference this time
yeah.
next year. Now, Oakland, they beat up on a verbal team that had gone to semifinals 19 years in a row. Now, wait a minute, here they get 19 consecutive years, Maribel made it to the semifinals.
And a lot of those years they made it to the finals.
This
right?
is true.
Yeah.
So 19 years in a row they made it that far. And the question I asked you the other day, and I think you already know the answer, when was the last time Maribel got put on a running clock?
1961.
No, they didn't have it then.
Then 1971.
No, they didn't have a running clock.
When was it? You're teasing me here.
No, they never. It's the first time. First time ever.
That's what I thought.
First time ever, running clock. And I don't know this answer. When was the last time Maribel was shut out?
That's a very good question. I don't know the answer either.
Well, I'll let you discuss that.
You want me to research that?
I do.
Okay.
That's on your assignment. If you if you decide to take it.
I will accept that.
I don't know if it's Mission Impossible, but you're pretty good at it because you're called a guru.
I'll take the appropriate steps. But congratulations to Ravenwood. way, they finished 11-3 this year. Had a great year.
Wonderful year.
Sure did. Now, tomorrow, Stormy, Friday, it's all Division II. At 11 o'clock tomorrow, Class A, Friendship Christian versus Davidson Academy. And I got to be honest with you, to me, the biggest upset so far in the playoffs was last week when Friendship Christian knocked out Fayette Academy 14-7. We had all assumed it was going to be a final between Davidson Academy and Fayette Academy. Didn't happen. So tomorrow, it's Davidson Academy. I think they'll roll. And then we've got two teams in Williamson County that also play tomorrow in Class AA of Division II. BGA gets a second try against CPA. CPA over Lausanne last week, 21-14, beat a very good football team. BGA rolled over Franklin Road Academy big time last week.
50-7.
50-7. So now it's a rematch. What does Rock Batten have to do different than he did the first compared to the first time they played during the regular season?
Well, what helped, he locked the door of the locker room and let CPA out.
Okay. Now, number two?
Maybe get a white flag. No, I mean, I'm being funny. Trying to be funny. CPA can line up and play with anybody in the state. They can line up and play a 6A team. They can play Alcoa. They can play Oakland. They can play Merville. They play MUS. And I'll tell you the truth, I think they can beat them all.
Tell me, think about this. 31 seniors on CPA's team. 31.
Well, I watched them as sophomores. I remember Nolensville went over and played them when most of them were sophomores, their JV team. And Nolensville just ran up down the field on them, beat them 42-7 at CPA. But there was a lot of good kids out there. And I remember Will Hester saying, he goes, you know, we had the best of them tonight. He said, but you know, he said, see all those sophomores and freshmen, in about three, four years, those kids are going to be really good. Well, he was really right.
He was really right. Well, watch out for Rock Batten. He's got something up his sleeve. We'll see what happens. That's at 3 o'clock tomorrow, by the way. Then, in the nightcap, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Brentwood Academy, last week, did it well over NBA, 28-6. They'll take on MUS, undefeated, who beat Macaulay last week. Stormy, I got to believe that if Brentwood Academy wins, it'll be four in a row. Other teams have done that, but, it's a big but, MUS, I think this year may be their year. It's been a long time.
The Owls coming out of Memphis, I'm not sure the level of competition they play in week in and week out. You know, you don't get to be 11-0 down that league and not beat some people.
Absolutely. Well, they beat Christian Brothers handily, I know that, among others down there. You're right. That may be the difference, but that's going to be a great game tomorrow night at 7. Then Saturday, Class 1A, game you're looking forward to, Whitwell and Cornersville. Whitwell knocked off last year's champion, Stormy, last week, Greenback, 24-21, and the Cornersville Bulldogs had to work, but they beat Lake County 21-8, so two undefeateds go head-to-head. Class 1A at 11 o'clock Saturday should be a dandy.
Yes, that was one game in the picks that I just almost lost sleep over. Now, I've got a tough question for you. I'm going to throw you a curveball. I'm telling you, I'm throwing you a curveball.
Throw me a Tom Lawrence curveball?
No, better than Tom. Tom's come up and looked like a lollipop. I'm going to throw one in there. It's going to break off the table.
Well,
I've got a $64,000 question for you on this. Tell me where Whitwell is.
Whitwell is between Jasper and Chattanooga. You take a left at the Jasper exit down in Marion County and go about 10 miles north. That's exactly where it is. I've been there. $64,000, my friend, you owe me.
I didn't. I didn't say.
There are three perennially tough football teams in Marion County: South Pittsburgh, Marion County, and Whitwell. Those are your three schools. And
now that you mentioned it, I do remember because he turned off at the hospital exit.
Go
to Whitwell.
That's correct. It is beyond the Jasper exit. The next one, I believe. That's
it's
right.
Where the hospital is.
I don't know about the hospital, but
it's on the right.
Okay. All right.
But I didn't shake. So now I say it's a $64,000 question. I didn't say it was $64,000.
You didn't say I was going to get the money, did you?
No,
thank you very much.
I mean, I don't have. I look. First of all, I got a new grandson. Any money I have is going to Colton. Colton James Mattis.
The Colton Fund.
That's right.
Show me at 3 o'clock Saturday. Alcoa versus Covington. Need I say any more? Both undefeated. Covington beat that Stratford team that had done so well. And
overtime though.
Yeah. And then Alcoa really didn't blow Upperman out. 27-14 was your final. So you never bet. You never bet against Gary Rankin.
Okay, here's another question. I won't bet any money. Won't ask any $64,000 questions. When's the last time Alcoa wasn't in the final?
2007.
Is that a guess?
No, they've been there 11 years in a row. They won nine of them.
And who beat them out that year?
Man, you're making me reach back here, aren't you? I have to look that up. Can I get back to you?
Yeah, I mean, okay. These are inquiring minds want to know.
Well, I can do that. 7 o'clock Saturday night, 5A championship, Stormy, moving along. Knoxville Central.
He changes the subject.
We got a show to do here. Knoxville Central, by the way, who knocked off Memphis Catholic last week, 24-19.
No, it wasn't Memphis Catholic.
Yes, it was.
No,
sure. Knoxville Catholic.
Thank
Excuse
you.
Me?
See, I told you. Give me my money back.
So you're awake. They take on Henry County. Henry County's won two state championships. They beat Beach last week. Didn't have it easy though, 13-7. And
Beach was driving.
Yep.
I mean, Henry County had a hang on Sloopy to win that ball.
Was that overtime?
I don't think so. That was final quarter.
So there you have it. 9 state championship games. Why don't we just add 2 or 3 more and make it 12?
Well, see,
wait a minute.
I'm glad you said that. Now, I've been ready to pull over and park. I have let you entertain our audience, listening audience. I saw something today written by my good friend Mike Organ. He's the one of the sports writers for the Tennessean. I know you love the Tennessean. I abhor the paper.
Well, I do read it.
Yeah, I abhor it, but that's no sort. Mike's a great guy. He's been the Tennessean since forever. He said, now who's the main sponsor now for the bowl this year? Blue Cross Blue Shield?
Blue Cross, yeah.
And they do a great job on my insurance. I appreciate that.
Right.
He says, I think we need to change it to the Aquafina Bowl. And you should ask why.
Why?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
That's the main water, I believe, right?
He says, because there's so many teams, they've watered down how important it is. I mean, there's going to be 400 kids are going to be state champs this year instead of where it should be less than 100.
Yeah. Well, we've had that argument.
I thought it was great. I thought I loved his sarcasm. I liked the idea of what's called the Aquafina Bowl. And I thought, I'm glad he said that because I'm going to bring that up.
Well, we still have coaches here, and we know who they are, that are proponents of going back to 5 classes in Division I.
I've heard
maybe even 4.
I've had some even say 3.
And then as far as Division II goes, they just added that third one last year, that middle one that CPA and BGA are in. So, you know, what do you want to go back to?
Two entities are getting rich off this.
Of course.
The trophy people, the T-shirt people for the winners, and TWSAA.
And concessions.
They're part of it.
Well, that's true. So anyway, we've got 9 championship games. We played one, and we're about to complete another one. It's Greenville still up 49-21 in Class 4A. They're in the fourth quarter now. Don't miss a big weekend in college football. Are we okay on a break right now before we get into that?
It's 5:20. That's fine. We'll take a break when Coach Shirley comes striding in.
Tomorrow night, let's talk about it. Pac-12 championship, Washington Huskies and Utah tomorrow night.
I'd rather go watch a 7 and 8 year old girl softball slow pitch ball.
Tell me, if you're a fan of one of these schools, you're going to go to the Rose Bowl if you win it.
But if you're a fan of one of those schools, you got no life. I pity you. I mean, Utah. What?
They
play football out there.
They won the South Southern Division. I thought they were just. That's a good team. Kyle Whittingham's their coach.
Gosh.
And we'll get more serious here. Saturday, let's hear it for MTSU.
Yes, the Blue Raiders.
They got again for 2 weeks in a row now. UAB once again, but this time for the Conference USA Championship.
28-3 last week. Yep. Stomped the Blazers out of Birmingham. My question is, did the Blazers show them anything? They roll over, play dead.
It's hard to beat a team twice, Stormy. That's all I can tell you.
I know that. Picked MTSU. Last week I picked UAB and got stomped, and this week I picked MTSU. I'm probably going to get stomped.
We probably will, but what a big win that would be for Rick Stoxel if they could pull it off tomorrow.
Rick Stoxel broke my heart in 1976.
He played for the Seminoles, right?
Florida State. They came to Memphis, played Memphis State, and Memphis State was ahead by 3 points with, like, I guess a minute and a half to go. Stoxel was quarterback for FSU, got the ball, drove it from the 5-yard line all the way down. They tried a 42-yarder, 1 second left, and the kid made it to tie. Memphis State at the time, 24-all. And I remember Rick Stoxel, and I thought, man,
he was a good quarterback.
He was a great quarterback.
He really was. Speaking of Memphis, Stormy, a big football game, American Athletic Conference Championship, UCF, number 6 in the country, number 7, rather. They will take on the Memphis Tigers in Orlando for that conference championship, and UCF is a 6-point favorite. What do you
think? UCF lost their starting quarterback, the star, and he'd have been in the ball game, they'd have been a 17-point favorite.
And that's a very serious injury. We're glad he's okay because it was touch and go for a while. He's going to have surgery down the road, but
I saw a picture of it on Tony Graves, former Memphis State Tiger, sent me a picture of it. I was going, oh, come on, Tony, I've got to eat dinner, and looked at that. I was like, oh, lost my appetite.
It kind of reminds you of Joe Theismann's injury back in whatever year that was. You remember that one?
I do remember it well.
So Memphis is 6-point underdog. We'll see. Go Tigers. Can we say that?
Yep. But UCF is going to win that ball game.
A good football team.
I will just say this. Now, how ironic when you mentioned Joe Theismann, that Alex Smith for the Washington Redskins on the same yard line with the same score at the same period of the ball game had the same exact leg injury as Joe Theismann. That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now, how ironic.
Yeah,
I mean, this exact same score, exact same time of the game, same yard line. I think if I was a quarterback, I wouldn't want to play. I think I'd skip. I said, no, I'm not going to play this week. Keep my money. I'm going to go get a massage or something, but I'm not playing.
Right. I agree.
How, How ironic is that?
That's it's eerie. I'll say that. Very eerie. So I'm in Atlanta, 3 o'clock Saturday. Alabama, Georgia, go at it
again.
Again, Alabama. The Tide's an 11-point favorite over the Dogs. You remember that game last year? What a dilly it was. Now here's the talk. Okay, right now, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame are the top three. All right, let's say what if Georgia beats Alabama?
Does Alabama
still go?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What then? Georgia would probably go too.
Right.
Okay. So you'd have two SEC teams, and then you'd have Clemson and Notre Dame, and it would be then Oklahoma or
your favorite team, Ohio State.
Ohio State left out of the mix. Now, but let's say Alabama does win. Georgia's out. Now, who's going to be that fourth team? Because the Sooners have Texas tomorrow, or Saturday, excuse me, and Ohio State has Northwestern. And let's assume both of them win their conference championship.
Well,
who would get the fourth spot?
Oklahoma.
Thank
you. Yes.
Okay.
Kyle Murray, first of all, there's no D. If you look at Oklahoma, there's Oklahoma Sooners, there's no D in there.
They don't believe in it.
And there's, I mean, you can spell Oklahoma Sooners without any D, and you watch them play football without any D. They might as well be in a two-hand touch, powder puff league. I mean, because they play great offense, but they couldn't stop anything.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you the question this time.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, sure, I'm sitting here.
All right, why would you pick Oklahoma instead of Ohio State for that fourth slot?
Well, because one...
If they both win Saturday, of course.
One, Ohio State took a drubbing at the hands of an unranked Purdue team.
Uh-huh. That's your answer.
Thank you.
That's
Oklahoma's,
your answer.
Oklahoma's loss was...
They lost to Texas by 3 points, so that's the difference.
Well, that's fine. Hold on. Let me send a text back. This coach, and I'm going to tell them no rush, and they're in good shape. And that's Coach Carter. So they're on the way.
Okay.
Bad traffic, and I would imagine.
All right.
They'll take their time. We're going to enjoy our time right here.
But, Stormy, that's the answer for you Ohio State fans who are saying, we're going to sneak in there. If we blow out Northwestern Saturday, it's not going to happen if Oklahoma beats Texas.
It's true.
It's not. You don't lose a regular season game to a 6-6 team by 33 points and make the big show. You just don't. Are we right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And who's the team that Ohio State lost to last year to get them kicked out?
Was it Iowa?
It was Iowa.
Yeah.
If you're paying attention, that's good.
Okay. Yeah, I'm into it.
The memories haven't gone that far. We can't find our car keys or our glasses, but we know who won the ball game 42 years ago.
Precisely. So there you go. Clemson and Dabo, they've got Pittsburgh. They're 24-point favorites for the ACC championship. So I got to tell you something. I watched Clemson last week, and people were saying, well, they gave up 21 points. But whoever it was South Carolina. I got to tell you, Clemson is good.
Yes. Well,
South Carolina
coffee drinks, they're a great SEC school.
That's right. But the second half, Clemson did what they do, and they run the ball down your throat. They got a good running game. They got a good passing game. My only question mark, if Clemson gets to the Alabama championship game again, assuming those two men, is their freshman quarterback going to be able to withstand the pressure? That would be my question. But other than that, they've got all the pieces in place to do it again. That's my opinion.
Well, you're allowed that opinion. Now, you just made all the Alabama fans mad.
Right.
Oh, I can see. One of them's right behind you. He's about to come up and back it.
Who is that? An Arkansas fan?
No, I said Alabama fan. That's Sammy Baker. He's a big Alabama fan.
We're not worried about Alabama.
He's about to come up and smack it side of his.
Pac-12, Stanford and Cal. Stanford's a 2.5-point favorite. If you live on the West Coast, you might care about that one.
Now, here he comes now. Sammy, he said something bad about Alabama. You can go and smack me.
No, I did not. I said I was very respectful of Alabama.
I sure was. I
know how to respect a good program.
Always good to see you.
So we want to take a break here before Coach Shirley comes.
Let's do that. Keelan's on the board. Let's take a 2-minute break. We'll be back. This is Coach's Corner from Stroud's Barbecue.
Right here in Williamson County, you can feed a family of four for $15.99 at Stroud's Barbecue. That includes 1 pound of pork or pulled chicken, buns, and a pint of a side item. Throw in a half gallon of tea or lemonade at Stroud's Barbecue. Right here in Williamson County, you can feed a family of four for $15.99. 615-595-0200. Open 7 to 8 Monday through Saturday and 7 to 6 on Sunday. That's Stroud's Barbecue right here in Williamson County.
This aquarium is awesome, Ima Jean. Here, lean in and let's pose for a selfie by the shark tank.
I don't like the look of those sharks, Cooter. They're staring at us like we're lunch.
Never mind them, Ima Jean. Here, lean in closer. You won't be in the picture.
Careful, Cooter. Don't put all your weight on the glass.
Say cheese, Ima Jean.
Look out, Cooter!
For emergency glass service, Lewis Glass, 106 Century Court, 615-790-1977.
When you need auto repair, you want a shop that offers reliable and affordable services. Pua Brothers Tune and Tire Service is here to help. Their services include brakes, electrical, computer diagnostics, timing belts, tune-ups, transmission repairs, oil changes, cooling systems, tire service. And they service foreign and domestic. The ASC certified techs at Pua Brothers will get the job done right the first time. Pua Brothers Tune and Tire Service at 112 Alpha Drive, locally owned and operated since 1949.
Hey, this is Stormy Mitchell, and I want to cordially invite you to the church at West Franklin. You'll be greeted with a warm smile, firm handshake, some of the best coffee in town, excellent music, and some of the finest preaching this side of heaven. The church is located at 700 New Highway 96 West. If you can't make it, tune in to WAKM on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and listen to the church service. The preaching will be done by Dr. Matt Pearson from the church at West Franklin.
I'm back at Stroud's Barbecue. Sammy Baker's in there picking up a bunch of barbecue. I mean, is it there for us? No. I don't think. I didn't think it would be, but. But it's good to be here at Stroud's Barbecue. Coach Shirley and Coach Carter on the way. They're in a little traffic. It's dark. It's rainy. I told them to take their time. No rush. No worries. Everything is copacetic. We're having a fun time. At Coach's Corner, always every Thursday at Stroud's. Now, holiday catering time coming up. Stroud's is this is your answer. 615-595-0200. 595-0200. Whether it's 5 up to 5,000. They can feed you. Call over here. Call in advance. Call Marshall. Talk to crew, they'll fix you up. I'm telling you, they cater weddings, Christmas parties, church events, reunions, family gatherings, you pretty well name it. Even if it's a business meeting, they'll deliver it, set it up, bring it in, get it to go. Man, don't go through the hassle of cooking. Don't do that. Don't say, call wife and say, well, honey, we got 49 people coming for dinner. Well, she'll shoot you, and you'll sleep on the couch for a week. Call Stroud, 615-595-0200.
If you're on your way home tonight, it's raining outside, not through at the drive-through window if you don't want to see Stormy, you don't want to see me.
Now, who would not want to come
and
in and see me?
You can feed four for $15.99, Stormy. What a better deal. You can't find a deal like that anywhere.
And don't get the deal of the day. You always got the deal of the day. I think it's the loaded baked potato,
yep.
$5.99. You can get it with chicken. You can get it with pork. You can get it with extra cheese and butter and terry. Don't forget, I used to order it with that bacon. Oh, that maple, sugar, maple, bacon. It's hard to say. About five or six strips. And then with the lettuce and tomato, had the salad, I had it all right there. Stroud's, 595-0200.
Stormy, final score, Greenville runs over Haywood, 56-21 in the Class 4A championship.
Okay, we have some hungry Bruins coming in the building right now.
Really?
Yes, we do. I'll tell you. He pulled my thing over here. One of them, Mr. Cole Matthew, number 24 at C. Am I right? I am right. And we've got Mr. McPherson, right there, number 14, coming in the building. You gentlemen,
I didn't know we had guests coming.
You gentlemen, go up there, tell them you're with us, order your dinner, and we'll get you all in there in a few minutes. Tell me with us, whatever you want.
And who do we have again?
Cole Massey, number 24, Mr. Joey McPherson, number 14.
Okay. Must be James's brother.
Yes, and both of them played some good minutes of the night. Mr. Massey's got a good 3-point shot from out there at 6-3 range. Mr. McPherson handles that ball. He's cool as the other side of the pillow. I'm just telling you.
Tell me, one thing you notice when you look at that Brentwood roster, they are most all seniors.
Yep.
This is a veteran lineup. I want to talk to Shirley about it.
They are loaded.
The barbecue nachos are great, by the way.
I'm just kidding.
Stormy's endorsing the barbecue nacho.
Well,
there's no menu item. It's not good.
That's true. The barbecue burrito's great. The nachos are great. So we want them fed. We don't want them running out of gas tomorrow night when they're playing Franklin going, well, we didn't eat enough food at Drowse. We don't hear that.
Stormy, speaking of Franklin, they rolled over Hillsborough 69-51. When's the last time you saw a team beat Rodney up at Hillsborough by that margin this early in the season?
Well,
they did.
You remember, Rodney Thwee, coach up there, always, for some reason, they always start out slow.
Mm-hmm.
If you recall, Hillsborough is notorious for starting slowly.
Yep.
Coach, pull up another chair for you there. They always start out slow. They play a slow November. They play a slow December. And then all of a sudden, when district play starts coming in, all of a sudden, here comes Hillsborough. And then all of a sudden, their football players are are now in basketball shape, it makes a difference. Hey, guess who just entered the building?
Let's see. Who do we have here? Brentwood Boys Basketball Coach Greg Shirley. Coach, how are you?
Doing awesome.
And who'd you bring with? Who's the sidekick you brought with?
I found somebody walking on the side of the road. I'd give Vincent Carter a ride here.
Coach Vincent, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good. Now, you guys are going to eat something, I assume, while you're here.
Definitely.
And now, look, if we had him down here and we didn't beat him, I'd get a whooping. And I'm not going to have that. Hey, we'll start out. First of all, Gage and Boston players got Cole up there, got Mr. McPherson taken care of. Any other players coming? Those two, good. Well, we're going to feed them. Mr. McPherson needs to put on some weight, so we're going to have him eat some extra banana pudding, which will be fine. Talk about your game Tuesday night. We got to watch Knowlesville. Knowlesville comes in a class 2-12, 2A. They're good.
they were undefeated beforehand. One of the best post players in the area. They got guards that can shoot the basketball. Coach Lambert does a good job coaching them up. They're tough. They're tough. They're going to be a tough out. I'd not be surprised at all to see them make a run.
Yep.
I was really proud of how we had the grit and just after a really rough first half to be able to come back, claw, and fight. Says a lot about the character of my basketball team. But no, Nolensville, Coach Lambert does a good job. They're good.
At one time, the score, if my bad blonde memory serves me correct, with going transition from football to basketball, y'all were down 20-10 at one time. I do remember a timeout being called as a foot stomping. Is that true?
There was a bug that ran across the floor that I wanted to make sure didn't get on the gym floor. So, I take care of pests also. They got out on us the first half. And like I said, I thought that the grit and defensive ability and no bugs coming on the floor really helped in the second half.
What changes did you make at halftime? First of all, you started out man-to-man. Then you switched to a 2-3, is that correct?
We stayed man, but we were always really concerned about where their post player was.
Right.
We had utmost respect with him, of Nate.
They played on what he's talking about.
Nate's a tough player, first-class young man. We really were trying to take him away and take away their shooters. They have some young men that really shoot the basketball. So it might have looked more like a zone, but we tried playing straight-up man against them.
Well, the Zach Campbell was at number zero. Was it the little point guard that was sort of could penetrate? And Preston Moore was trying to guard him, and I said, try, and he had guarded it. But initially, Mr. Campbell got him on a couple first 2-3 possessions.
I think, though, that shows the senior leadership that we had the second half, that they came out determined that they were not going to let that happen, not let a bad first half of offense dictate the game. It just shows the grit and the toughness of my players.
Very good. Well, I was telling Terry earlier, he kept mentioning how tough is it having a transition to start out tomorrow night to play a district ball game, and we're still in November. But I reminded him that I got a call from you in June. It's y'all had played in the Western Kentucky tournament. So, Terry, these kids have been playing, through different tournaments, and this, I guess, all summer.
It's amazing how many games basketball players play now when you start adding summer basketball and you start adding club teams and everything else. My players, just like the players we'll be playing tomorrow night, they have basketball in their hands at all times. So, yeah, it's early. It's early to have this big of a district game, but, hey, it's early for them also.
That's true. And before I turn over to Terry, the one question I had with them playing as far back as June, I saw the Western Kentucky tournament. I think you played, six games in 2 days?
No, more than that, actually. We had to win, I think, 5 games on that last day. And we had 3 players that were out that day, 3 guys that usually start. So I think this summer was really to the depth of our team that other players could really step up. You mentioned Preston Moore, who's doing an amazing job. That day, Joey McPherson had the basketball in his hands the whole day. We had another younger player come up. Cole Massey, who was not a huge part of it last year, has really stepped in.
Yeah, he really did.
Best shooters in the county. John Franklin Burke. I mean, you can go down the list.
I got to say, Ben Mills was, how many blocks did he hit? I think 5 or 6 the other night of blocks. I mean, Terry Smith held up 5. Every time I looked up, Ben Mills was either diving for a ball, getting a rebound, or blocking a shot.
To me, that's what high school basketball is about, that you see a Ben Mills, you see a Cole Massey, you see a Joey McPherson, who have improved that much throughout their career. Just shows what kind of added, the character of the young man and the work ethic and what happens when you work. He's made himself a college-level basketball player.
I was very impressed. My last question before I turn over. With all the basketball they're playing, time, is there a concern, or how do you moderate, that's the best word I can use, moderate the use of their leg?
Well, I think, you know, I'll Coach Carter, my right-hand and left-hand man, he did a great job in the conditioning. He really runs the conditioning program. So we spent a lot of time conditioning in the fall. So he's done a tremendous, tremendous job during that time. My job is to sweep the floor while he's
step on the bug.
Care of all that. I did, because there's bugs on the floor. I don't have to step on.
You got several of them.
I sweep them up. But no, I give Coach Carter, 100% of the credit and their ability to work outside of what we do.
Okay.
The conditioning, I think, is very obvious when you look at a Ben Mills body and
yes.
Cole's change and just the physique of the players.
I will throw the question, Coach Carter. Good to see you tonight, Coach.
Good seeing you as well. Thank you for having me and having us over again. We always appreciate coming. On that particular stage, it's about building endurance and stamina and building their strength, not only in the body, but the mind. And that's teach them how to play through that, what we most of the time would refer to fatigue. So we spend a lot of time in fatigue-type situations. We work on that lower body, trying to strengthen that lower body so that it will not be like muscle memory. A lot of exercises working on that. And then just the old-fashioned cardio, running up and down the floor, trying to pick speed drills where we have a change of pace to try to mimic and emulate a real game situation. We have what we call our famous five-second sprint, which allows us to really get up and down the floor. We got 5 seconds to get from one end of the floor to the other. And then when we're doing really well, we cut it down to 4.5 seconds. That's really pushing it. So that's mimicking and building that mental toughness. Yeah, well, we did 17s too, where you got a minute and five.
You're 17 back and forth.
1 minute.
Well,
we started out at a minute 10. I'm actually a minute 15, and we just backed it down to we had down to 1 minute. You got to get across side court 17 times. So those type of things build what we believe. What you're starting to see now is that endurance is coming out. That fatigue factor to them is second nature. That second wind coming. Instead of looking at it and I'm getting tired, I'm not getting my second wind. So we look at it then what everybody else is trying to survive, we are thriving.
That is impressive. I mean, that five. I was counting my heads, going, no, mine would have been closer to about 12. Terry, how would you? Terry's shaking his head.
Too much physicality for me, Stormy.
Oh,
Coach,
man.
Back to Nate Blodorn, the big guy for Nolensville. He picked up his fourth foul just 2 minutes into the third quarter. Did you change anything you did when he went out to sit out for a while with Mills inside, try to maybe work it inside a little bit more than normal, or was it just business as usual?
Definitely changed the game, man. We definitely tried to attack him. Like I said, I have a lot of respect for the young man as a person and as a player. So, yes, we feel like we played to our strengths more in the second half, and we did try to attack.
If you look at this roster, it's senior-laden, to say the least. As a coach, do you do things any different when you have a roster with all the experience you have this year versus a younger team, or how do you change things around to take advantage of that maturity, I guess?
I think the most exciting part about it is not just the senior team, but these are players I've been with for 4 years. These are the players that were freshmen that came in my first year here at Brentwood. So, yeah, I made a statement about Preston Moore. I said last year I kind of gave him the keys of the car, but I was in the restricted license. And now I've given him more to the keys of the car, and I give him a lot more freedom. So, yes, with the senior group and just the 4 years of the relationship that we have formed, I have a lot of confidence in each and every senior on this team, as well as some very talented younger players coming up.
We always ask you this because every year is a little bit different. How is this team different from the team you had last year? And I know it's early in the season, but if you had to answer that question, how would you answer it right now?
Yeah, I would think that one thing we learned kind of the hard way this summer was certain players went down. You know, you have Jack Thurman, who was the district tournament MVP last year, preseason pick, player of the year. He went down at the Western Kentucky. Yeah, you had Preston Ward that got injured at the Western Kentucky. The last day of the tournament, Ben Mills that we talked about did not play that day. So other players stepped up. So with that being said, I think this year we're deeper. We have a lot of weapons. Harry Lackey and John Winley, I haven't mentioned, two super talented players. You know, we lost Harry for a little bit. He had an injury he was coming back from the week before, so that was his first game back. But it's a group that I completely believe in. I think we're a lot deeper.
Yeah, I was going to, because that was my question. I thought Harry didn't play his normal game. I, of course, hadn't had a chance to see him play, but I'm glad you mentioned that, because I thought he was trying to feel his way around the floor, just kind of getting the rhythm.
Well, with the injury he had, he's been absolutely amazing in the play day games against Ensworth, he has been tremendous. He has the strength and physicality that he has brought. He has made himself, to me, a Division I level basketball player.
I agree.
Being out for over a week plus, that obviously didn't have a basketball in his hands, was not able to do anything during that time. You know, I know he's kind of got the cobwebs out, and he's really looking forward to tomorrow night.
Well, he seems to have gotten the rhythm more. I mean, it sounds crazy, but the longer he went of the night, the better he got.
Made a couple of huge plays in overtime.
Yeah.
A couple of huge plays in the beginning of the third quarter when we hadn't been stymied. We came in, got a couple of nice passes inside. So, no, I got complete confidence in Harry Lackey.
Was it Harry or was it Ben Mills? I think it was an overtime. Went over and got a rebound and put it back in. I thought it was Harry. It was. And I went, and my exact words were, oh, my gosh, where, and I said it on there because I didn't know. I said, where's he been all night? Okay, ignorance bliss in my case. but I went, that's the Harry Lackey I've been waiting to see. Because he literally went over and just dominated, got a rebound after a missed shot. And I don't know how he got the rebound, to be honest with you. Other than just willed it and backed in his hands.
Like I said, Harry Lackey that I saw in the play day games and against the Ensworth where we were up 28 points at one time, that Harry has come back as a really determined, focused young man that has been playing really hard. Like I said, I think he's got a little bit of the cobwebs out that he, you know, from being out for a little bit of time there. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how he plays tomorrow night.
Coach Greg Shirley, Brentwood High School basketball coach on the boys' side visits, along with his main assistant, Coach Vince Carter. Coach, I want to ask you about the schedule. You basically, from your first game, have just a shade over 2 weeks before you start district play tomorrow night, as we talked about. Six games, Ensworth, Clarksville, Overton, West Creek, Nolensville. Talk about that stretch, because I assume with the short turnaround before you start district play tomorrow night, you want to make sure you've got some good challenges in there. Those teams, I think, and I didn't mention Lebanon, who is your only loss, but to talk about that preseason schedule and how you think that's worked out.
It was crazy. We had 5 days of practice and we played our first two play day games. Had another 5 days of practice and we played Brentwood Academy, which I can't tell them that's a play day game. Played Brentwood Academy and MBA, two very, you know, talented teams. We, you know, playing the Ensworth, playing the teams we played. West Creek is a tremendous, tremendous team. So, yeah, we tried to challenge ourselves because I believe in the players that we have. I knew they were wanted the challenge, and they needed the challenge to be able to get ready for the Franklins and Centennials and just the grind of our district.
Arguably, Storm, I'm sorry. Arguably, you can make a case if you're a preseason prognosticator that on paper, anyway, on the boys' side in District 11 AAA, Brentwood and Franklin would be your favorites. With that being said, how do you feel about starting off with Franklin tomorrow night versus somebody else?
You know, obviously playing at Franklin, you know, this early, you know, all I'll just say it like it is. Last year, losing to them in the regional semifinals, you know, I try to coach one play at a time, one game at a time, one practice at a time, but obviously it was on our calendar. Something I kind of played down until after we were able to pull out the Nolensville game. So the district schedule was set for us. It's what it was. So, hey, we're lacing up. We're ready to go.
All right, quick question. They play that notorious Darren Jones 1-3-1. How many other teams play that 1-3-1, and how difficult is it to prepare for that?
You know, he's very good at what they do. I've seen it a lot over the years. He does mix it up. It is what he does. And you know what to prepare for, but at the same time, they're long. They have guys that will step in and take charges. So it is something a little bit different than a lot of the teams do around here. But I've seen that a ton back in Florida. A lot of team ran it.
Right.
Like the majority. We played against a team that had Nick Calathis, had Chandler Parsons on the top of it, had Nick Calathis on the bottom of it, and three other Division I players. So it is something I've seen a lot of, but I know that's what Coach Joins does. And that's what
this question is, Coach Carter. Coach, how do you monitor or modulate practice any differently for a team like Franklin and district player rather than just what I would call, you know, Kamel's preseason play?
Really no difference. You're building a chemistry. You're building a familiarity of things that you do. You don't. I would hate to emphasize one thing over another. All is important. Every game, every practice, every time we sit down and talk about it, it's all very important. So to me, it's a building block for the end of the season when we go into district and play. So we start now building those character points, that IQ, that familiarity, that stamina, that understanding, that commitment, all that. So it's a process. So the fact that this happens to be a first district game, that's fine. It wouldn't matter if it wasn't a district game. It's another game. And there's some things each game, our intention is to get better each game. So it doesn't matter what name you put on it. It's the next one on the schedule. So it's a building process. So we look at it as next step.
How long have y'all coached together?
We've actually coached together, I think, 10 years. 9 years.
Y'all
nine.
Coached against each other?
No, we never coached against each other. But we've known each other for seems like it.
So we've known each other forever. So, yeah, when I last school I was at, I brought him back over. But he had ran the whole basketball program for all the gyms in Orlando for a long time. And we were just talking. I said, hey, would you be interested? Yes. So it was one of the smartest moves. One of the smartest moves I made in my life. Marrying my wife was a smarter move.
Yeah, you might have got two. You might have got two.
Good answer. Coaching-wise, it was the smartest move I ever made.
That was a good coach.
I caught myself.
He missed the shot, but he got his own rebound. He put it back in. That's what happened.
That's right. Nice recovery, no doubt. Coach, as you approach the Franklin game tomorrow night, kickoff district play, what were your goals going back to the beginning of your pre-district schedule with the other games? But what were some of the things you wanted to accomplish as you really get into things tomorrow night?
Well, I think just to be challenged. I mean, we talked about how to attack their 1-3-1 that you were talking about, but just the individual players that we're facing tomorrow night, to be able to put them in a position to be challenged to add a play date against a Brentwood Academy or a very well-coached NBA team. Just the athleticism that Emsworth brought and, you know, Lebanon and West Creek. I mean, we played a really, really tough schedule. Part of the reason I wanted to play in Nolensville early, too, I knew they were going to be very talented. So we definitely wanted the challenge. We definitely know that we have a huge challenge Friday night. We're going to come over and be the best Brentwood team we can be with a group of young men that are going to work as hard as they can for 32 minutes.
Sounds good. Tell you what, let's do. Our time is 5:54. Terry, I want to ask Coach. I want to transition to Coach Carter before we take our top of the hour break. Then we're going to get Cole Massey and we're going to get Joel McPherson on after the break. They can have some banana pudding if they like, which is extra. Which will help them get a little more energy tomorrow night. Coach, always bring it up. Always let listeners know your son, Vince Carter Jr., the greatest dunk of all time in the Olympics. What year was that?
I said 92. I think it was 92.
See, I said 92. Y'all, they blew me down on that.
I think it's 92.
Well, okay. He just scored his 25,000th professional point.
Right.
And I watched him get, the last play of the game, winning
right.
Natural out of dunk. How was that? I mean, my kids never scored anything because they look at the dad. I mean, duh. But how was that for a parent?
For a moment, it was, I have two emotions. One is as a parent and one is as a basketball fanatic.
Okay.
So I feel myself lucky to be able to celebrate it twice. Very proud of what he was able to do. Just looking at, I'm thinking back when he was a very small kid shooting in the backyard on a goal that was far over his head. Never imagining one day he'd be able to jump over the goal. So that in itself was amazing to see the excitement there. And from the basketball side, just the fact that if you've been able to commit to something that long and still be at a point where you can contribute to that. That goes back to a conversation we had many, many years ago about just taking care of yourself. Letting your body, if you take care of your body now, it'll take care of you later.
21 years.
21 years.
I mean, wait a minute. 21 years of professional basketball.
Isn't that amazing?
Most people don't play 21 years
of anything.
Of pickup league. Anything, backyard, horse, basketball.
True testament to me of commitment to taking care of yourself. He changed his diet over the years. He obviously had to change his approach to the game. But what he did not change was his commitment to his body so he can perform for him. Injury-wise, he's done very well in injury. He has nothing very really serious. And I think that's conditioning. That's a diet. That's a commitment to work ethic. Just understanding what your body is about and taking full advantage of it.
Okay, obviously, he doesn't eat a daily dose of Strauss banana pudding.
No, he does not.
Can you give our listeners, and we got a couple minutes, just what is his consist of his diet? Because I've always been a little fanatical about what I eat, too.
Well, the one of the things that amazed me is that he does not consume sugar anymore.
Okay, very good.
That's huge.
Yes.
Low consumption of sodium.
Okay.
A lot of meat and a lot of veggies. It's really not a magical diet.
No.
It's a disciplined diet.
There you go.
Exactly with a purpose. A lot of fruit and an awful lot of water. Awful lot of water. He's not much of a soda drinker.
Good. It draws kidney stones.
But I'm surprised because I am.
Oh.
But he was very, he's been able to discipline himself in that. So, it's a diet that just requires you to be committed to what you're doing. And it's worked very well for him. But it's not a secret. I mean,
right.
We can all do it. It's just if we're disciplined enough to do it.
21 years and professional basketball. Terry, now you're pretty fanatical about what you eat. I have learned to be, to quote, eat with a purpose. That means I can't finish off that lemon chest pie.
Well, I can tell you this, Stormy. I have tried to cut back on sodium and sugar myself, and it's not an easy thing to do, for sure. And you just have to do the best you can. And he's certainly done it. He's thrown the test of time, sure.
No french fries for you tonight.
I don't know. I don't eat those anyway.
I can't have them anymore either. Dead guy. I just had to ask, because who else is, I mean, I remember Kareem played a long time, but
Jerk is coming up on 20 years.
Dirk the Whiskey.
On that time. Now, the real story is,
okay,
Coach Carter tonight has been cutting 50 wings down to 40 wings tonight. So that's what the real story is.
Talk about discipline here.
I mean, that takes discipline, doesn't it?
That's a good start, Coach.
I mean,
hey, I think a lot of discipline to cut out here.
Well, I tell you what, if y'all want to eat wings one night, we'll go, and if y'all want 50, I'll eat the other 10. Terry, we're not going to make it. We're here at Stroud's night. I'm smelling the barbecue for the last hour and a half. I'm salivating. We're having a great time. We've got Coach Shirley and Coach Carr from Brentwood. Terry, let's do this. Keelan's on the board. Keelan, let's go back and take, let's do a top of the hour break. Let's take 2 minutes. We'll come back on the other side with the last segment of Coach's Corner. Y'all sit back, get ready. We got players coming on the second half of Coach's Corner here at Stroud's Barbecue.
Flag World has the largest inventory of flags, flag poles, and flag-related merchandise in Middle Tennessee. Hello, I'm Craig Eilerman, owner and operator of Flag World. We offer a full range of flags and flag-related products, including state, military, historical, outdoor decorative designs, as well as indoor and outdoor flagpoles. Flag World is a very patriotic business and works very hard to get as many products as we can that are made in the United States. We offer in-ground flagpole sales and installation throughout Middle Tennessee and into Kentucky. For many years, we have done both residential and commercial. We are conveniently located at 401 Cool Springs Boulevard, 1/2 mile west of Interstate 65. You can reach us at 615-778-9791 or visit our website at flagworldamerica.com.
Matthews Team Sports is your full-service team sporting goods dealer. Online stores, in-house screen printing, top brands such as Adidas, Under Armour, and Gatorade. We handle teams from middle schools to universities and everything in between. Visit us at MatthewsTeamSports.com. Locally owned and operated, on-time delivery, and customer satisfaction are our top priority. Any sport, any season, any equipment, or any apparel need. Our team is ready to serve your team. Contact us now at MatthewsTeamSports.com.
Well, if your home needs a fresh look and you're starting with your floors, we hope you'll start with Floors on Mallory Lane. That's where we are. And we're going to visit with Steve today. Steve's the guy who's going to take care of you when it comes to that installation. So you're the guy that you either do the heavy lifting or you make sure someone is doing the heavy lifting.
Yes, I am the guy. You know, and everybody needs a floor to walk on. And everybody tells me that I look like I'm having the fun. But why am I the only one doing it at times?
Floors, 1731 Mallory Lane in Brentwood, right behind the Krispy Kreme and Cracker Barrel.
Wait a minute, Coach Shirley, come back over here. No. See, now, I'm glad. Your brother was listening in Orlando the other night, and toward the end of the ball game, you had a wardrobe malfunction. Is that what, that's what they call it when it happens to a lady? But, Coach, you were trying to get that Royal Blue jacket on.
Well, the real story is I turned around behind, and I saw this person up in the stands. They were just shivering. And I kept turning around, and I kept seeing them, and they were shivering.
Oh, it's getting deep in here.
So when I saw them again shiver, I said, you know what? I'm the kind of person that will take the coat off my back and give it to that person.
I admire your compassion and your empathy. My question is, why did you wait till only less than a minute of the ball game to give it to them? And it was after. Who made the turnover? Well, somebody made a turnover, and then
I turned back, and they said, please.
Oh, that's what it was.
Person in the stand said, please, can I have your jacket? And you know what? I said, yes. Yes, I will do that for you.
We enjoyed that so immensely. Goss looked at me, and he says, I think that's one of the better Dennis King impersonations I've ever seen him do.
Well, I have to work hard to do that. Coach King, I know, was pretty animated.
Animated is a good word. Yeah, we stopped using outside mics. Well, hey, you had your time for rebuttal. Now it's time for you to order some barbecue.
Good, thank you.
Cole, so y'all come over here.
Greg Shirley, tomorrow night, Stormy, I think he's going to be a little more serious as he comes to visit the Franklin Rebels here. Two players, who are they?
This guy, Joy McPherson, and Mr. Cole Massey. Cole sitting next to you. Cole came out and nailed a three-pointer early in the ballgame. Did you take another three-pointer after that?
I think I shot one or two more after.
Did he not give you the green light? I mean, that first one in, didn't he ripple the net?
He gives me the green light. I guess I didn't have the opportunity.
Didn't have the open look. You didn't, as you mentioned, I remember you playing more at the end of the season last year. I'm going to see a lot of basketball. What has been the transition to get to play more this year?
Just having the confidence of coach and then the rest of my teammates, that's helped a lot for me to come in and shoot the ball like I know I can.
And what about other night, Nolensville? Pretty good ball team y'all teed up.
Yeah,
I'd go overtime to take them.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on who? I can't remember who you had to guard.
I guarded a few different people, but we just went in, did what we had to do, made sure we didn't have let Nate, their big guy, have an easy thing. So the main priority was just help side with him and not letting them shoot open threes.
That's what I was saying. Y'all were double teaming him from the weeks, the backside, whether the backside fronts, whatever. I mean, every time he got the ball, it looked like Britt was having a family reunion around Nate Bladorn, which is what the coaches were screaming for. Terry, I know you got some questions. I want to ask Joey, been watching you play a long time. You had an older brother that played,
mm-hmm.
Great basketball family. How much competition do you have, if y'all had in your backyard over the years? Because that's where you learned. You play great poise and very, I'll describe you always as cool as the other side of the pillow.
Mm-hmm. I've been looking up to my brother, like, as a basketball player forever, and I was just trying to be like him because, I mean, James, my brother, pretty much started the trend of being as cool as the other side of the pillow.
He was
the floor general out there.
Never seemed to be rattled.
No. He was ready for the big moment. I believe he's starting sophomore through senior year, and they made state. Those 3 years, and he was exciting to watch. And we have a sport court in the back, and man, we go at it like every day.
I bet that's great. Terry, the one thing I remember about James and Joy also, I would imagine both of them are excellent poker players because both of them never changed the facial. But now me, you can read me like a book. I mean, I'm like, oh, you can read what I've got. Never change the face. I mean, you don't see highs or lows with you. Is that your nature, or is that something you've learned to control?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of part of my nature. I've never really been a guy to show much emotion. I think I've just been kind of taught over the years to kind of not show weakness, I guess. I'm not saying that showing emotion is weakness, but like when times get difficult to like trust it and just know that people have your back.
Sounds good. Cole, may I ask you this question? You've played, how many years have you played under Coach Shirley?
I think this is my third year.
Third year. What's one of the main thing that you've learned from him, you've gleaned from his coaching?
Definitely just if you make a mistake, don't let it affect the other side of the ball. Just keep playing and play through mistakes, and he has your back. He's confident in you.
Well, the way y'all play defense, we say on the air, the defense, Redwood defense always leads to good offense. They got to see both of them not like that. So what do y'all work on in practice? How tough is practice practicing against guys like Joe here? I mean, how tough is practice?
I mean, it's tough, but it definitely makes us better. We always work on, getting the rebound and pushing it, trying to get faster and transition points, trying to get that to be a big part of our game this year, too.
All right, Joey, the same question I asked him. What's the main thing? And Terry, I'm going to hush what you asked the question. What was the main thing that you learned from Coach Shirley? You played for him all. This is your fourth year.
Fourth year as him at Brentwood. I think this is my second year on varsity under him. But he always, had my back even in my younger years. That's kind of, what I've learned from him. He has my back. We have his back. He has so much confidence in us, and I think that really propels us to do what we have to do.
Sounds good. I'll ask the $65 million question, Terry. Either one of y'all have upper-level algebra or whatever he teaches, class with him?
I did have class with him last year.
And how was that? He's sitting right behind you.
Oh, yeah.
he can't change your report card.
Oh, yeah, no. I had a seventh period, so, I mean, we see each other within, 2 hours of each other, pretty much back-to-back. Just to know what he does, to be a math teacher and to put in all that work with film, we don't know half the story that he goes through, and just to know all the work that he puts in is crazy.
Sounds good, Terry. I like
pretty, that answer.
Hey, Coach, that's a pretty good endorsement over there.
Cole man. Like also, that. Joel McPherson, as the Bruins get ready for a big showdown tomorrow night, game number one in District 11 AAA with the Franklin Rebels. Cole, talk about the schedule you played up till now. You had a tough game with Nolensville Tuesday night, also a tough game with Lebanon. You played Innsworth, Clarksville, Overton. We sort of asked Coach Shirley about this, but how prepared do y'all think you are now? You step it up a notch because you're going to get into district play now, and it's a whole nother level, but how do you feel that the team is ready to go with district play starting tomorrow?
Well, I mean, every tournament that we get into, Coach Shirley's always trying to get us to play against the best teams because he knows how our district is and how tough it is, and I feel like it's just made us better, and through the low points of the game, teach us to stay together and keep our cool and just keep playing as a team and play Bruins basketball.
Joel, I think I called you James, so forgive me. I'll probably do it again.
Hey, you call him Joel. Joey.
What? Joe?
Joey.
Joey, okay.
You call him Joel.
Okay, Joey, Joel, J-O-E, whatever. He knows who I'm talking about. What's it been like for you? How fast has all this gone by? And I asked both of the same question, but 4 years is not a long time, and now all of a sudden you're seniors. Is there a little more sense of urgency this year knowing you won't have another opportunity after this season?
Yeah, definitely. I remember our freshman year workouts. We were working at this facility called Quest, and I just remember talking about the new coach coming in. I was a little freshman. I was scared to play in front of him, actually. I'm scared to mess up, but like over the years, I've just like kind of grown with him, with the relationship, and just trying to grasp all of it before this last year.
What was the turning point when you got to the point where you weren't, quote, afraid to play in front of him? What actually you kind of took that breath and go, you know what, I'm accepted by him. What was that turning point for you?
I think my the summer coming into junior year, during open gyms, before summer league happened, I don't know if I didn't prove myself then, so I didn't make the varsity summer team that summer. But I think just coming back after the varsity team went that summer and did what they do, just coming back, I just felt more confident, and I think that was the big step I took.
Sounds good. Cole, do you ever have those feelings or emotions?
Oh, yeah. I used to be scared to play in front of them as well, but I think that's just...
That's normal, by the way.
Normal.
That's normal.
In front of anybody, anybody that's important.
But, so what changed that?
I think I just realized that no matter like what I did, he would still believe in me and have confidence in me and have my back.
You know, Terry, and thank you for both of them. Both of them said essentially the same thing. The coach believed in them. He had their back. How many times this year, last year, the year before, have we heard players talk about coaches that have molded them mentally, make them stronger, even more so than maybe even physically?
Absolutely, Stormy. And I think any coach, if he's worth his weight and salt, will tell you that the reason he's in this business is to help develop young people and watch them grow as citizens and you know, college students and adults and so forth. So, yeah, I think there's absolutely something to that. Cole, I'll ask Joey this question too, but you both are seniors. What's your plans after graduation? Have you thought about what goes on after you leave Brentwood High School? What you're going to do with yourself?
I'm planning to attend college. I don't know where yet, but yeah, just college and then start my life after
that. What would you like to study? Anything particular?
Engineering.
Very good.
Mechanical or electrical or what?
Mechanical.
Oh, he's smart.
It's going to be fun. How about Joey? How about you?
Yeah, same as Cole in college part. I just got accepted into UTK yesterday.
Very good. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
And then I'm between UT Chattanooga and UT Knoxville right now. I think I'm going to go into kind of a sports management field.
Very good.
Because I'm so over the years, people have told me to do like what I'm passionate about, and sports has been a big part of my life. That's what I love to do.
Fantastic. Okay, now, tomorrow night, guys, it all counts. You're at Franklin. District 11 AAA begins in earnest. There's a guy named Reese Glover that plays for that other team over there.
Oh, you had to go there.
Well, let's talk about the Rebel team. This is a good basketball team. You all had three big games last year. What about this Franklin team? I'm sure you know them inside out. What's going to be important tomorrow night, and what do you look for from them?
Yeah, they're a really talented team. They just got another big man that transferred, Haynesworth. So we weren't really expecting that in preseason. But, I mean, if we're just going to go over there, not let them have anything easy on offense, and if we play the way we know we can play, we're going
to
win.
Who's going to get to draw him? Y'all play man-to-man? You know yet?
Draw who?
Haynesworth.
Harry Lackey.
Oh, that'll be a fun. I think Coach Shirley, Coach, that's my bad. Coach Shirley, I remember I brought him up last summer. We were talking about that young man, and Coach Shirley said, what about that three-pointer? He hit the buzzer. I forgot he stepped out and banked it off the top of the backboard. Mr. McPherson's not pleased with this. He's showing more emotion than he usually does. Tell us your thoughts about playing the Rebels. He's over here about to salivate. He's ready to play.
I mean, yeah, this Rebels team, I think it's kind of it's a lot different from last year's. Last year they had Jack Patton and Evan Sigler, and of course Reese, but they lost those two guys, but they gained a young talent in Matt Thurman. He's a very talented guy, plus Ashari. I think their presence inside is a little more prevalent this time, but we still know their capabilities behind the arc, but we're going to do what we can.
Has Reese Glover ever seen a shot he didn't like take?
No, I mean, you can see the basket. I mean, he's putting it up there. He's a really talented guy, but we're just going to, I mean, the past few times that we played him, seems to have a pretty good game each time, but I think we're gonna have a good game plan for him.
What's the size of Bruin Nation going to travel down here tomorrow night?
There's been a lot of talk around school. Some people have been endorsing it pretty heavily. Even the start of this week on Sunday, they were talking about it. I think we're going to have a great student section. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere for the students and, of course, the players.
My question is, I know you're calling the ball game, and I know you're focused on guarding whomever's in front of you. As announcers, we're sitting there, and we can, with our microphones, we can hear things are said. How much is heard out there sometimes on the floor, or does it become just a big blur?
I think when you first get subbed in, you just kind of got to take a second to just kind of take a deep breath and take it all in. Like, you can't really get much better atmosphere than this. That and Brentwood Ravenwood is up there. But I think when times get crazy out there, which I know will tomorrow, we just got to keep our heads. I know we really emphasized that last game because we got kind of frustrated at halftime. But we had a good leader in Preston Moore who said Riser got in the locker room at halftime to just keep our heads. And I think that's our mindset going.
That's very good. Cole, your thought?
Yeah, this is Joey said, keep our heads, but it'll be loud, but I mean, once we're out there on the floor, we're us playing, not going to really notice all the chants and all the screams.
They say a lot of stuff, don't they?
Oh, they do.
We're going, hey, I'm glad we don't have an outside mic. Terry, I'll hush and let you.
Sorry, we can't let them leave without asking the most important question. I'll start with Cole. What did you have off the menu here at Strauss tonight?
I had the pork sandwich and mac and cheese.
There you go. There you go.
A great choice. How about you, Joy?
Actually, I did say the pork sandwich at first, but the guy up there was baiting me into the nachos. And I finally caved in. I got the nachos, and they were great.
I think somebody else mentioned that. Please, they got to get the nachos. First of all, it's a joy, J-O-Y, watching both of you grow up, watch you mature. Love watching you play. I got the best seat in the house. I'm got to be objective and totally impartial, but it's hard not to really pull for young men like you when you get to know you, and I'm so proud of both of you. So good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Toby, you said it all right there. And it's still the granddaddy of them all, in my opinion, Franklin and Brentwood, no matter what the sport, doesn't get any better than that.
I'm glad you said that, because tomorrow night the atmosphere will be electric. It's playoff atmosphere. Anytime Brentwood and Franklin go at it, regardless of the sport, it's electric. I mean, it's so intense. You can almost cut it with a knife. You can feel it. So I know you guys. You probably got your homework already done. Correct.
Correct.
I've still only got one.
A wink.
I only got one answer.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right.
Got your homework done. That means you're going to drink plenty of water, get plenty of sleep, and be on time for school tomorrow. So good deal. We'll see y'all tomorrow night.
Good luck, guys.
Great job, gentlemen. Right. I know they had some banana pudding, so I know they're ready to play now. Coach, I know you're coming back in. Thank you for bringing these two young men. Great ambassadors as usual. Or the Brentwood Bruins.
Yeah, let me tell you a little bit about both of them. Cole Massey last year, the hardest day as a coach is the day after your last game if you don't make the state championship.
Oh, yeah.
And that last day, bell rings, and I'm still there at school grading papers. And I walk down to the front office, and I hear about basketball. And I hear a basketball bounce, and I'm like, did that even hurt a little bit more? Until I looked in, I don't think anybody's put up as many shots as Cole Massey has since last year. Probably at times he didn't supposed to be in there, but Cole Massey, Jack Thurman were in there.
Love Jim Rant.
Probably a whole bunch of other times, even when they weren't supposed to. But yeah, that's Cole Massey. That's a great example of somebody that was covering a Reed Smith a couple of years ago and preparing himself for this moment. Joey McPherson said it exactly. He didn't make the summer team, but then he came back, and every single day that we had any kind of open gym, he just played so hard. And he's been such a steadying factor for our team. You know, those two are great examples of what high school sports is supposed to be about. Young men that work hard and improve on a daily basis.
Let me ask one real tough question. It didn't apply to the basketball team, but the school had a great loss this fall with the Luke Stavis young man. How has that galvanized school? Because I know it has. Have you seen that from a teacher's standpoint?
The young man was a student of mine in the past. The loss of a life is tragic, and it definitely was a different atmosphere than anything I've seen in the 34 years I taught. It's a great family, you know, just watching how they handle themselves. It makes me thankful that I have the faith in God.
Yes.
That I saw that from them, and hopefully it can, I mean, nothing will bring Lucas back, but at the same time, this is the time to really realize how special it is to have that relationship with God.
And that's a tough question as a parent of three, and seeing how it affected, you know, not only the football team, but the entire school. And I know that family and those students are fortunate to have gentlemen like you, Coach Carter, Coach Crawford, across the board, John, you know, Joe Blair, Kevin Kydell over there, giving them direction in these tough times. But that's what you're here. Basketball is just the tool you use to mold these young men, you know, these young boys into men.
We try to do. Coach, I meant to ask you this earlier. You got six district games, and we're going to let you run here in a minute before Christmas, but you've also got some other non-district games that are going to give good competition. You got Hillsboro. You're back at Nolensville again. But what I wanted to ask you about was the Father Ryan Christmas tournament. Give us a rundown on who's going to be there, and do you know who you will play at this point?
Yeah, we have Laverne first round, and you have a Mount Juliet MLK in our bracket. It's right around the corner from us, but we're playing teams we never played during the season. It's a very strong tournament, and we're able to be home Christmas morning with our families. So it's a good experience not playing anybody else from our district, but still being able to face different teams and a very talented Mount Juliet team.
I've had the pleasure of watching those two of the last 3 years y'all played in that tournament. Do yourself a favor. You want to go see some good basketball, tired of, quote, shopping, you're tired of eating, you know, watching the Christmas shows, you want to get away from family and go see some good basketball, sneak over to Father Ryan. Nice facility, and they'll accommodate you well.
Every Hallmark movie is the same anyway, so you...
Yeah, that's true. I think that they got...
Well, you're not quite sure what's going to happen.
But you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
It's like a box of chocolate. No, I won't go there. I won't do my fourth cup, I promise.
District 11 AAA. Give us a rundown, your thoughts on, you know, obviously you haven't played a district game yet, but it's always very balanced. Every night's a tough night. Just summarize your thoughts on the district this year.
I think it's like every year. You know, you look back at last year, there's a lot of very talented returning players. I mean, I don't think you get much more of an exciting district championship than our game against Centennial last year. You look at the guard play that they had, Trey and Dusty, and Franklin obviously is a very talented team. We bring back a lot of experience. A lot of them were getting their first experience last year with Preston Ford being, you know, running the point guard for the first time. He's been through a seesaw. Ben Mills, you know, you look at the Coles, and plus the talented players like Jack Thurman and Harry Lackey and John Winley. You go down the list, you know, you look at Dixon County, who has almost their whole team back.
They're going to be strong.
They lost at the buzzer to Franklin in the district. He made the regionals. Page coach does a tremendous job. Ravenwood's going to, you know, they're young. They have new players, but Coach Whitlock's going to coach them. You know, Summit's real young. They have some athleticism. They have some, you know, talent. You know, Spring Hill, it's just every single night. And Independence, I heard they're playing real hard. So to get experience, you have to get experience. So you got some teams with some younger players that are working really hard. So it's going to be tough every night.
Terry, I tell you what, we were kind of reminiscing football season was over. Disappointed that we would have been Cookeville tonight. In fact, we'll be home people will watch Whitehaven and Oakland on the tube once we get home in about 35 minutes. But I got to be honest with you, Terry said, what's the difference in broadcasting football and basketball? And I knew it. And I know he loves them both. I love it because I'm right there on the floor. I get to have fun watching the coaches, you know, whether they can take the coat off or stomp that bug or whatever thing. I love watching the players' expressions, and we're right in the middle of the action. It's my favorite time of the year.
I don't think many high school players get to experience the atmosphere that Brentwood and Franklin will have tomorrow night. The electricity, the excitement. You know, the first thing the players said, Coach, what hand signals are we going to have for certain plays? Which we haven't had to worry about beforehand. Tomorrow night we'll have to worry about it. Just the atmosphere that they're getting. Most of my Florida teams that did not have that experience on a night in and night out basis. It's going to be an amazing, amazing atmosphere. Even if you're not for Brentwood or Franklin,
come
on. You want to see what Williamson County Force is all about. That's the place.
I know there's a group of gentlemen that go from different games to games, and this one's circled on their calendar. There'll be 8 to 10 guys that have no kids, and you'll have no dogs in the fight, but they'll be there. They'll get there early just to enjoy this rivalry, the granddaddy of them all, Brentwood and Franklin.
And it's only November. Think about that. Here we are with a big game tomorrow night on the last day of November, and who knows where we might go from here by the end of the year.
I would get there early. It's going to be a great girls game.
Yeah,
those teams are seriously talented. Get there early. If you want good entertainment, that's the place to be.
It's just $5 again. I mean, we don't pay any $5 or something. I mean, it's the best. You can't, my gosh, why go to a movie? There's that one. But man, come watch a ball game.
It's more money to go to a movie.
Oh, the concessions will cost you $50 to go to the movie.
Yeah. Coach, thanks for being with us. Always good to see you. Lots of luck tomorrow night.
Appreciate it.
Coach, it's always great. Pleasure having you. That's Coach Greg Shirley and Coach Vince Carter Sr. on earlier. Terry, the granddaddy of them all. What else can you say?
That's it, Stormy. What a better way to start it off, I'll tell you what. Well, get your feet wet, and that'll be the case tomorrow night.
I'm just glad I got one game under my belt because I didn't yell first down one time the other night. But as Garth said, yeah, but the season's young. I need some edification.
Don't pick too soon.
I need some edification. Well, great job tonight. Appreciate Coach being here with Coach Herbert with the great players. Join Mr. Cole Massey and Joey McPherson, also Coach Vince Carter Sr. For Terry Merrill, you got one other thing?
Airtime tomorrow night, Stormy?
6:00. We'd have no pregame because the Boom Boom Room with Ron Slay. The Slay ride goes from 5 to 6 p.m. Y'all tune in at 5. Don't want to miss any of that. Ron Slay, former UT star, will be on for a full hour of enlightenment, excitement, and he'll have it going. And we'll come on right at tip-off time at 6 p.m. from Franklin for Terry Merrill, for Keelan Fisher. This is Stormy Mitchell. And good night, everybody. Thank y'all for tuning in to Coach's Corner.